Beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this Thy house to worship Thee, we thank Thee. And pray, O Lord, as Thy Spirit has been with us in song and prayer, that He will be with us now in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that He would guide Thy servant and bless him to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and then bless Thy people to hear and understand. And above all, O Lord, it may honor and glorify Thee, and then edify and strengthen each one of us. Now, we're mindful of those who've asked an interest in prayer, those who are on the prayer list. Be with each of them and all for whom is our duty and privilege to pray. We ask Thee to forgive us of our sins and have mercy on this nation, we pray. And all of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I invite your attention to Psalm 119 and verse 11. It's interesting that Psalm 119 and verse 11, while some of you are turning to that, that's most of you, not all of you, then I want to mention one thing is, this is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's not a chapter. It's part of the book that has the most chapters in the Bible, according to some, but it has no chapters. Now, you see, it's not 150 chapters, it's 150 psalms. All right, so that's a profound thing. I'm sure you appreciate that. But then again, Psalm 119 and verse 11. Before I read that, you'll see the subject of this particular verse. But I noticed one of the comments of one. And a number of years ago, I used each one of these sections of Psalm 119. I believe there are 176 verses, I believe it is. And each one of these sections for a call to worship a number of years ago. And one of the things I noticed there's maybe just one or two verses that don't have some reference in one way or another to the Word of God. It may be statutes, it may be commandments or something like that, but it's a reference in one way or another, and all but one or two verses in this psalm of the Word of God. All right, now this particular verse reads, Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin, that I might not sin against thee. And trust the Lord will bless us as we consider the words that are in this psalm and other related passages of Scripture. All right, again, the subject, as I mentioned just a moment ago, is God's word, the word of God. This, when he says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, he's referring there to the word of God. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Word of God, this Bible, is just as reliable as God Himself. It is as true as God Himself is true. And it will not change as God Himself does not change. Now, I know you've heard it said probably that the Bible is out of step with society. Well, they got it mixed up. Because sometimes the Bible is never out of step with anyone or anything. Society, sometimes culture or whatever, is out of step with the Word of God, because the Word of God is indeed a standard. Now, there's standards, you know, with people that build, they have levels. And I remember a number of years ago, the late Elder Archie Sapp, and I loved him, followed him at Canaan Church in Illinois. He was also a builder, very good at that. But he said several carpenters began to brag about their level was better than all the other levels. And he said, you know what? Not one of them were the same. Now, those were standards, and yet not one of them was the same. But this is the Word of God. This is our standard for faith and practice. And the Word of God here is a guide for our lives. All right. And so it begins this particular verse by saying, Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Well, this is an example for us. Now, I want to tell you there are commands in the Word of God, and there are examples in the Word of God. And that is, as we find this example here in the Word of God, whoever wrote this particular psalm, and I've tried to find a number of some clue that maybe David wrote this particular psalm, and I have not been able to find it, but this sounds like what David would say. A man after God's own heart, David would say, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, but this is an example, for it's not a command, But it's an example for us to do as we find here in the Word of God. All right? And so since it is an example for us, then how much of God's Word should we hide in our hearts? Well, the expression there, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart." That means that all of it we should hide in our hearts. Now, I was thinking as I was trying to study this, I probably could have found it out, but I don't know how many verses that we find here in the King James Bible, much less just in the New Testament by itself. I don't know how many verses there. I don't think we can, some people might, but I don't think most of us, I couldn't memorize all the verses we find here in the Word of God. It just simply can't happen. But I tell you this, brothers and sisters, we should have a good overall understanding of the truth of God as it's found here in the Word of God. That's what we should have. Now, we won't have that immediately, because that's something that takes time. That's something that takes more than one sermon a week besides the Bible study lesson, or two sermons a week besides the Bible study lesson, and maybe a Wednesday night service. It takes more than that. It takes some private devotion. It takes some group study. I know one of the members over at Mount Nebo that has a good, tremendous knowledge of the Word of God. But he said he and his daddy-in-law and some others would sit around and they talk about the Word of God. They discuss the Word of God. And he learned a lot about the Word of God there. His father-in-law ran a store in this little small town called Davisboro, Georgia. And it was a mom-and-pop store, because it wasn't any of these chain things. It's something they had themselves. He had gas pumps and so forth, but over on the side of the counter was his Bible. And sometimes people would mention something in the Bible, and he'd have a Bible right there to maybe make one comment or another about that. But the point is, again, to have a good understanding of the Word of God, then it takes some study and meditation about the Word of God. And it's spiritual growth. We are commanded to grow spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we find these words, the first part of the verse. Well, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And then it says, if I'm not mistaken, "To Him be glory both now and forever." Now think about that, brothers and sisters. That sounds like here's one statement over here, and there's another statement over here, and there are two different statements. There may be a compound sense, but nevertheless, it is two statements. But I think those two statements are together with the idea, when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we glorify the Lord. And one of the reasons, anyway, that when we do that, we glorify the Lord, is we want to know more and more about the Lord, what He's done for us, and what His commandments are, what His will is for our lives as we live here in this world. We want to know more and more about it. And the fact that we want to know more and more about it glorifies the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters. But God help us to grow spiritually. And we should hide, so therefore we should hide God's Word in our hearts. Why should we hide God's Word in our heart? It is the most valuable treasure we can have. Remember that. We should hide God's Word in our hearts because it is the most valuable treasure we can have. The Word of God, I thought about several verses of Scripture. Don't plan to use them this morning, but several verses of Scripture where the Word of God are spiritual things, the kingdom of God, and etc. They're called treasures, and it is indeed a treasure. One of the things a treasure is something that's very valuable, and the Word of God certainly is valuable. And we think of treasure as something that's precious, and the Word of God is precious, by the way. It's something that is rare. And this is something that is indeed rare. And I thank the Lord that we have it, can study and learn from it. Now, think of it in this way. One of the reasons we're to hide God's Word in our hearts is, if it is hidden, it can't be stolen from us. Now, it may be that every one of us has something hidden there at our houses, and we think it's in a safe place. one place. I don't know if any of you do or not, of course, and don't need to know. But it may be some of you, at least in the past, have hit something under a mattress. You know, somebody breaks in your house, that's one of the first places they go. That's not the safe there. But I tell you this, brothers and sisters, it is hidden in our hearts, then it cannot be stolen from us. There are other things that can be stolen from us. In fact, if this was the only Bible I had, it could be stolen from me. But the fact is, if it's in my heart, then no one can steal it from me. As I was thinking about this morning, I thought about the Apostle Paul when he was beheaded. I think all that time the Word of God was in his heart and he rejoiced in it. I thought of the Apostle Peter when he was beheaded. The Word of God was in his heart. Beg your pardon. Peter, when he was crucified, the Word of God was in his heart and he rejoiced in what the Lord had done for him while he was being crucified there in Rome. Alright? And so the Word of God is something that is very special and it should be more than a book on a table. There's nothing wrong with having a Bible on the table. This Bible right here, I sit in my study, and over here it's on the top of a shelf. Now, but early this morning, and practically every morning, I reach over and get it and put it over here, have a word of prayer, open it, and read something from the Word of God every day. And start with Genesis 1:1. And Matthew 1:1 on January the 1st, and then on December 31st, I end up with the book of Malachi and Revelation chapter 22. That is, I've read through the Old Testament and New Testament every day. And what a blessing to my life it is. And there are some things that I can hide in my heart that I couldn't have hidden in my heart if I had not read that every day for a number of years. And listen, I want to tell you this. There are plenty of things that I don't understand well. But I tell you this, the more I read, the more I understand. And thank the Lord for that. But it cannot be stolen from us, again, because it is in our hearts. It should be more than just a book on the table. Now, why the heart and not the mind? Well, of course, we think of these things. It's in our hearts and we think of those things because it is in our hearts. When we hide God's Word in our hearts, it's the very core of us. That's the very, almost practically the middle of our bodies. That is, it's the very core of us. And that is, when it's the very core of us, it's the very center of our lives. It moves and guides us and directs us in the way that we live in our lives. And we conduct ourselves, brothers and sisters, by the treasure that's in our heart. Look with me, if you will, just briefly, at the Gospel according to Luke. And I want to read from chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. And it reads, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, the idea, I don't care about who they are and whatever, but listen, I'm going to put it to you this way. And that is, if the Word of God is hidden in our heart, and our heart is centered on the Word of God, then it's going to make a difference in our lives. If our heart is on, our chief desire is on the things of this world, and I don't mean ungodliness necessarily by that, but the carnal, the material things of this world, if that's number one in our lives, listen, we're missing out. And it will make a difference in our lives to the negative. We'll lose some of the blessings of God. And so, and one other thing, that is, we must know God's Word to hide it in our hearts. And again, I'll remind you that we need to study and meditate on the Word of God as much as possible can. And the more we do that, the more we'll know of the Word of God. And God help us to do so. Alright, we hide God's Word in our hearts. One of the things we hide in our hearts is the practical teachings of the Word of God. We hide the practical teachings of the Word of God in our hearts. Because again, that's part of the Word of God. The Scriptures, of course, teach us how we should conduct our lives. For instance, I'll give you an example. The Ten Commandments. Well, We don't think of the Ten Commandments. We think more of the New Testament. But the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments are about our obedience to God, such as, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And there are two more. But the last six of the commandments, how we treat our fellow man. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. That is, obviously we're disobeying God if we do either one of those or any of the other four of those last six. But the fact is, it has to do with our relationship with our fellow man. And we need to remember that. All God's commandments are important. If you will, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, Mark. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, and I want to read verses 29 through 31. Mark 12 and verses 29 through 31. While some of you are turning to that, I'll mention this, and that is that Jesus was asked, what's the first and great commandment? That, you know, that's one of those gotcha questions. They knew whatever he said would be wrong. If he said, thou shalt not kill, they'd say, well, what about thou shalt not steal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They would say that. That's what they do. And so that's a gotcha question. And so they asked him, what's the great commandment? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And by the way, that is a commandment because it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And then he said in verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the second one, by the way, is also a commandment because it's found in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And so all of these are important. That is, our relationship with God or how we serve the Lord and our relationship with our fellow man. And that is, all of these are indeed important. And we want to obey the Word of God. And the reason we want to obey the Word of God and be faithful to Him or serve Him is because His commandments are in our hearts. Alright? And so, we want to obey the Word of God because His commandments are in our hearts. That's the very core of us again. But there's also the fundamental teachings of the Word of God. We want to obey the Word of God because of what God has done for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, beautiful verse of Scripture, we love Him because He first loved us. That's profound. We love Him because He first loved us. If God had not first loved us, we would have never loved Him. But thank the Lord that He has loved us, and He does love us, and therefore, for that reason, we love Him. We serve the Lord because we love Him. And we love the Lord because He loved us first. That is, He loved us before we loved Him. All right, but God has shown and manifested His love for us. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I will read verses 29 and 30. Romans chapter 8 and verses 29 and 30. All you're familiar with this, I suppose. And these read, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, I just want to say something about foreknowledge there. And God has always known everything. No telling how many, it's a number beyond my comprehension, I'm sure, how many cells I've had in my body, whether bone cells, blood cells, muscle cells, or other organ cells, whatever they may be, nervous system, whatever it may be, skin. There's no telling how many cells that I will have had in my body when the Lord comes to call us home, whether I'm living or when He calls my spirit away from the body. Well, don't tell how many cells. I'm sure the Lord could tell me just the exact number. I'm sure I wouldn't recognize the number, but He could tell me. That's a number beyond my comprehension. It's a number that may not have been invented, but He knows that. God has never learned anything. He's always known everything. But now, consider His foreknowledge. It's mentioned four times in the Scriptures. It doesn't mean that God knew about something ahead of time. God, again, God's always known about everything ahead of time. But the idea that God foreloved. God foreloved. And that's what it means here. And the other three times it's mentioned in the Word of God are various forms of foreknowledge. For whom He did foreknow. That is, God had a great love. And out of that great love, then God chose a people. It's not in this verse of Scripture, but it's over in 1 Peter. And God predestinated that people. God called that people out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is, we were born again. We were quickened. God justified us by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And God will ultimately glorify us. Now, did you notice this? He said, and like, this has already happened, because He said, them He also glorified. Well, it hasn't happened, but I tell you this, God can speak of the future as if it were the past. And the reason God can do that is because when God has decreed something, it's just as good as done. It is going to happen. I was thinking just a little bit as we were up here this morning. That is the expression, and it came to pass. Now, you might, they're not always this way, but there are times that you find in the Old Testament Scriptures, it shall come to pass, certain things. And then in the New Testament, we find it, and it came to pass. That is, God has decreed something, and it was just as good as done. And God said, it shall come to pass. There are a number of times that God speaks of the future as if it were in the past. I think one of the most beautiful examples of this, well, I'm not going to turn to that, I'm not going to refer to it, but Isaiah chapter 53. It speaks of those things that Jesus was going to do 700 years about before He was born, and it speaks of them in the past tense. Yes, the resurrection is yet to come. We are yet to be glorified sometime in the future, but God speaks of it in the past, the speaks of the future as if it were in the past, because God says it is just as good as done. Now, with all these things God has done for us, look at verse 31, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can say, well, you haven't done this, you haven't done this, or you have done this and you have done that? Who can say that? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can say anything against us? Well, it doesn't matter what someone may say, God is for us, and thank the Lord for that. And this is not only true in a fundamental way, but it's also true in a practical way. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know as well as I do, we're living in days that we don't know what the future is going to be. We don't know if it may be against the laws of this land, and if some people had their way, it would be, but we don't know if it might be against the laws of this land to worship as we're doing. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we may suffer for that, but listen, at the same time, God is for us. And especially when we're trying to be faithful in the service of God. And especially when we're trying to be faithful in the service of God in spite of opposition that we may have. And so thank God for that verse of Scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, this is something we have hidden in our heart. And when we have these great truths that God has saved us and will bring it to pass and fruit, bring it about the fullness sometime in the future, listen, that's something that's hidden in our heart. And we want to serve the Lord. And we want to say at the end of the verse of Scripture in our text, that I may not sin against thee. All right? Now, there are the practical teachings of the Word of God and what we should do, what we should not do. But then there are the fundamental teachings of the Word of God, those things that God has done for us. And there are also experimental teachings that are found in the Word of God. That is, about the blessings that we experience as we live here in this world. God blesses us to know what He's done for us. I think 2 Sundays ago, I think it was, I tried to preach from Psalm 89 and verse 15. And it begins by saying, blessed are the people, blessed is the people that knoweth the joyful sound. That is, those that know the great sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice one thing, the word know. Now, it's not, I know that it's morning time, I guess. I don't get to preach that long, but I know there are green trees out there and that sort of thing, but as we look at know here in this in that verse of scripture that I just mentioned, Psalm 89 and verse 15, it's translated from the same Greek word, or Hebrew word, over in Genesis, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Now you see, brothers and sisters, that makes know look a lot different. That makes know a whole lot more precious. That makes know something that's very intimate in our life. That we know, we love the joyful sound. It's something that's precious in our lives. It is indeed that. And that's some of the experimental teachings we find in the Word of God, that God blesses us to know these things in our lives, and blesses us that it may mean something in our lives. Now we serve Him, and when we serve Him or His people, such as here, or we're praying for others, such as those mentioned on the prayer list, and go to give a helping hand to others, or wherever it may be. Listen, God blesses those efforts. God blesses those efforts. We need to, and that's some of the experimental teaching of the Word of God. I like to listen to Him sometimes before I start reading, or sometimes before I start studying. And I looked at one particular hymn, and over here, I noticed this hymn, and I listened to part of it. It's sung by a group of people from India, by the way. And the hymn was, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, I think I knew what that meant. Well, let me rephrase that. I think I've experienced that, but I'm not really thinking about what that means. That is, Sweet Hour of Prayer. When we're trying to pray, when we're trying to commune with the Lord, and that's one of the things prayer is, by the way, when we're trying and striving to commune with the Lord, I know, and every one of you probably experienced, as I have many times, we feel like our prayers don't quite make the ceiling. Now, we've all experienced those times. And yet at the same time, probably every one of you have experienced those times when you feel like God was with you. God was manifesting Himself with you. Not only there, but God is omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere all the time. But there's a difference in God being somewhere and God manifesting His presence there. And that's what I mean when I say Sweet Hour of Prayer, that God is not only there, but God is manifesting His presence and giving us that joy in our lives. And so, listen, when we experience these things in our lives, we may say we want to hide God's Word in our hearts so we may not sin against Him. We want to do it, and we want to do it again so that we may not sin against the Lord. We are sinners, by the way, brothers and sisters. I know that. You know that. We are all sinners. There's never been a man, that a person that lived on the face of the earth and did not sin other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve, for a period of time, I don't know how long a period of time, lived without sin. But they sinned. And every human being other than the Lord Jesus Christ is a sinner. We are sinners, and nothing can change that in this world. But one thing we don't want to do, we don't want to sin willfully. We don't want to sin willfully. Turn with me to another psalm. This is, I read a text from Psalm 119. This is Psalm 19. And this is a familiar verse of Scripture to you, I'm sure, especially the last verse. Psalm 19 and verses 12 through 14. Beautiful verses of Scripture, especially the last verse. Now, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Now, the expression, who can understand his errors, I tend to think that it means that how can we know all of our errors, all of our sins? We don't really have a concept of that. But then he goes on to say, and this is what I want to, what's really important, I think, the second part of verse 12 when it says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. That is, that times maybe we don't know something is contrary to the Word of God. We do it anyway. We should know better in our lives now. But those can be secret faults. And there are other secret thoughts. And let's see. Well, in fact, it's what we do in the dark when no one's watching. Well, the Lord's always watching. I read this morning in one of the Psalms, it says that there's no difference in the darkness and the light, because the Lord can see in the darkness just as well as He can see in the light. But the idea that when we're by ourselves and sins we think in our minds, and so God help us, brothers and sisters, that the Lord would cleanse us from secret faults. And then He says in verse 13, keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. All right? The great transgression. Now, most of us could probably think of some particular sin that is the great transgression. But I want to tell you, it's not any particular sin. The word transgression is translated from a word which means rebellion. Now, think about that. What's rebellion? When we know what we ought to do, and we don't do it. Or we know what we ought not to do, and we do it anyway. That's rebellion against the Word of God. And that's rebellion against God Himself. And so, this the psalmist, it's the Psalm of David, by the way, he says, then shall I be innocent from the great transgression. This is written by David, a man after God's own heart. It was sent, by the way, to the chief musician, if it's in your Bible, as it is mine, as a kind of introduction before the first verse of this psalm. Now, and that meant that David's intent was that this should be sung in the worship of God, in the tabernacle, and then later on in the temple. And then these beautiful words in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isn't that beautiful? It is beautiful to me. One of the most... I love the Psalms. And I wish, I've got to read the rest of it also. But in just a couple of days or sometime this week, I'm going to be through reading Psalms. And I hate that, because they're some of the most beautiful words of devotion that are found in the Word of God. I look forward to the time when I start reading them, and hate the time when I quit reading them. But it doesn't mean I can't read the Psalms. But for my regular morning reading, then I won't be doing that. But thank the Lord for this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If we've hidden the Word of God in our heart as we should, then we're not going to quit sinning. But the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts may be acceptable to Him, and we'll do a lot of things that are pleasing to Him. The Lord help us to do so, is my prayer for Christ's sake.